Hey there, buddy. Don't forget, there's plenty of Last Podcast Network merch available over on lastpodcastmerch.com. We got shirts for all of your favorite shows like Wizard of the Bruiser and Page 7 and No Dogs in Space. And of course, plenty of stuff for Last Podcast on the Left. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com. Thank you.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Last Podcast
on the Left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
It's Christmas morning. Oh, can you feel everybody's
God.
Up and
Yay!
Everybody's ready to go and you're down, like, let's say, you know, you're not anywhere right now. You're wherever you are alone.
But if this
was another Christmas, would you do? Can imagine you wake up and you just like, fucking, you come down and say, like, if you really wanted to feel better about Christmas,
yay!
You're so excited to see everybody.
I'm excited. What am I gonna do?
And you go into the living room.
Yeah.
And your parents were fucking murdered in the night. And their fucking bodies are just splayed open. Their guts have been pulled out of them. Like they were party poppers and they were exploded on New Year's Eve.
Oh my God. It's Christmas miracle. My parents have been abusing me my whole life. And
you're
now
free.
Yay!
You're free. And you got the PS5.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Last Podcast on the Left. This is, as you can tell, it's just Henry and I here today. We're just doing a quick intro for the best of episode you're about to listen to. We got some yucks and some clucks coming your way. And we hope that you are... Whoa, that's a dog bark.
I've been having a hard time with animal noises today. We discovered before, because someone brought up a dolphin, and I just went...
That's a turkey.
And everyone said that's a turkey. And
yeah, it's a drowning turkey.
I'm just not a fucking biologist.
No, you are not. Well, thank you all so much for listening to the show this past year. We really appreciate you. And we made it to Christmas or to Kwanzaa or to whatever you're celebrating or just the holidays or just a vacation. Hopefully you get a little bit of time off. And I don't know how to give advice here, but just really try to just enjoy your brain.
Take the downtime. This is a really good time to clean all your guns, and it's a really good time to
honestly,
crossbow bolts.
Sure.
They go on sale very soon.
Right after Christmas. There's a fire sale.
Right after Christmas.
Yeah, you get to shoot everyone that didn't give you the right gifts.
Yeah, you gotta go. You gotta go and make them feel the Christmas spirit, even if they don't want to.
And the Christmas spirit is not about gifts, is it? It's about giving.
It's about giving
taking.
And being together.
Also, it's about big corporations making billions of dollars off of people who are currently struggling financially.
Just milking and milking and milking,
milking.
A deeper and more poor and debased economy.
Almost like if Jesus came back, he would say, "This is not how I would celebrate my birthday."
I honestly think that he'd be like, "McDonald's is amazing. This is incredible." And then he would immediately become a corporate shill. I could see him immediately. I could see Jesus all of a sudden just, he would have his own goop.
Yes, he would. Of course, the Gwyneth Paltrow.
If Jesus was real, he still had a fucking massive ego on him because he acted like he was the son of God, which was a lie. To begin with. So he obviously couldn't have been that, he can't have been that great. It's like he's no different than a fucking comedian.
Yeah, well, in many ways, he is the Gwyneth Paltrow of all deities. He has a lot of wacky ideas, and a lot of housewives love him.
And he brought a lot of fish.
And he definitely did. He's pescatarian, perhaps.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, enjoy the episode, and hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Live from your grave.
All right, welcome to the show, everyone. Obviously, it's Christmas time, and everyone's like, oh, a wonderful... Santa Claus is going to break into our house and steal all our cookies and maybe leave us a load of crap.
I absolutely hate Christmas.
I am so with you, and I don't want to be a bah humbug guy.
Hate it.
But I just don't like the holiday that much.
Number one.
Marcus, you love it. I can tell. Look at your smile.
Look at his smile. He's got a twinkle in his eye. He's got holly coming out of the top of his pants like a bunch of shitty pubic hair.
I love Christmas. It's a jolly holly time of year.
I'm going to put mistletoe right above the toilet and really confuse all my guests when they go to the bathroom. And I'll have my kiss now. Yes. Oh, you missed the mistletoe.
But I will say, so yes, Christmas is a celebration of our Dark Lord and Savior's fucking ultimate enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The stinky desert wizard known as Jesus Christ.
Right.
But I'd like to say that I think that we Satan has begun a long game of trying to get Christmas, and I think we got it now.
Yeah. You think, there was a war on Christmas and Satan's winning?
There's been no war on Christmas.
Oh, okay.
There's been a slow absorption of Christmas by our satanic master. And, I mean, because who gives a shit about Jesus Christ? Nobody. It's his presents. It's what am I getting, right? That's all Christmas is. It brings out the worst in everybody. Mm-hmm. It makes everyone a snarling fucking beast.
Oh, that's right. I mean, Jesus Christ was like Russell Brand. He was born into royalty. They were giving him gifts as soon as he got out of the pussy. The guy didn't do anything to deserve him. Frankincense, myrrh, and whatever the hell.
As soon as he showed up. His mom slept with some dirt guy out behind a stable, some horse ranger, and she comes back and Joseph's like, "What are you pregnant, Mari?" And she's just like, God did it.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. So today we're covering Christmas monsters.
But the true story of Christmas, the untold story.
And again, if you're a Christmas traditionalist, this is going to shake some of your tradition. This is going to shake the bedrock
yeah.
of everything you've loved about Christmas. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it's the dark side of Santa Claus today. And I got this first part of the episode. I got all of this information from www.av1611.org.
Mm. It's an organization. I would love to go to their headquarters.
What is that? Is that just like a random number generator turned into a URL?
I think so.
Yep, this is from their pamphlet about Santa Claus.
Oh, it's a digital pamphlet?
It's a digital pamphlet. They did publish it. They did publish it and hand it out and sell it in various Christian bookstores.
Gregory, we're just not getting the eyeballs on this that need to see it. Santa Claus is a pervert. We got to stop him. You know what I'm doing? I'm making a .org website.
Get it done.
Live from your grave.
But let's get to Santa himself and the occult origins of Santa and how Santa relates to Satan.
This was true.
Yeah.
This would be so much better. What a better story for Christmas.
Who's to say it's not, Henry?
I know.
So, that's a good point.
So first, let's examine Santa's trademark, ho, ho, ho. Now, most people don't know exactly.
Because it was definitely softened from the original whore, whore, whore.
Whore, whore. Yeah. He was just walking around the mean street.
Whore, where's the horse?
Yeah, that's just
I'm in from out of town, and I'm looking for some straight-up horse. I want to sleep with an old bearded man.
Well, don't kill him. One day he's going to be Santa Claus.
So most people don't know. Where did the ho, ho, ho come from? Is this just a jolly exclamation? Is this just something that fat guys say upon entering rooms?
Yes and yes.
Hey, how do you think we get into elevators?
Yeah.
Ho, 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 ho.
Oh. Well, that's actually what they say. Ho, ho, hi. We'll leave. We'll just leave. You guys can have the elevator.
They're mean. We need two of these elevators, huh?
Well, I agree.
Oh, no. It is something that someone says upon entrance.
Ooh.
But it is not fat men. It is the devil. For in pre-Shakespearean plays, they had these two characters in most of these plays. There were morality plays. There would be the devil and vice. And the devil's ordinary exclamation upon entering the play would be, "Ho, ho, ho, what a fellow I am."
Was he like a Yoda type, or what happened to him?
And that was known as the devil's bluster.
Oh.
Exciting.
And of course,
I'm going to start doing this more often.
God, how bad was the pre-Shakespearean plays?
Rough.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Shakespeare itself kind of sucks.
It was, old plays were back in the day were to just distract you from the fact that you died at the age of 38, and if you were 13, you were pregnant.
Right. If you were lucky, yeah.
So plenty of people have pointed out the fact that Santa is a very easy anagram for Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, it's a very easy anagram. It's funny. Ha, ha, ha. But it does have some meaning.
Well, because it's very true, because what we're going to learn right now is that the idea of hidden words are very powerful in magical studies.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. This guy, H.P. Blavatsky, who's a...
Blavatsky?
Blavatsky!
I can't believe
get in here! The sausages are late!
Can't believe he quit the family carpet business to research Santa and call him Satan.
He's a Satanist and a New Age teacher. He wrote in a book called The Secret Doctrine, he said, "The name isn't important... It's the letters."
Hmm.
I don't know what I gotta do to get kids in the seats. You know, I'm a new age Satanist teacher. I just don't know
how to get them. I don't know how to put butts in the seats. And I was trying to do some of that Peter Frampton mouth guitar, but I gotta tell you, the buzz is uncomfortable.
Oh, terrible, terrible! It just made me want string cheese.
Meow, meow,
meow, meow. Meow. I do.
Other new agers have also used anagrams for Satan, such as Sanat Kumara,
ooh,
in order to trick people into worshiping the devil. And as for the claws in Santa Claus, Claus is an anagram for Lucas, which is a modern New Age name for Lucifer.
Cool. Huh. Satan Lucas.
It seems like another modern New Age name seems to mean that they just made that up.
Yeah,
they just said that. Right?
Yep.
Mm, but Gale, but please, sir, listen to the words of Gale Riplinger. Yeah.
Of course.
In her book, New Age Versions, here's what she says about the use of anagrams in the occult world. Henry, what do you think Gale sounds like?
Okay. Lucifer's now, everybody, please. Please disregard the sound of my voice.
I'll have to.
And please listen to the important information I have to say. Lucifer's true identity as Satan is revealed as the anagram, a transposition of letters. That's what that means.
Oh, and she's just got the nicest closeted gay southern husband.
Absolutely. This is my husband, Dale. Our names rhyme.
Well, that's why I love her so much.
Don't forget to tell him about the blind, sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Dale. To obscure the true nature of a name, you use blinds, as esoterics call them, including the scrambling letters of a name to hide the true meaning of a word from the uninitiated.
I love it. I want some lemonade right now. I don't know why.
No, and so that is actually very true, which is where the idea of secret schools started back in the day, where it's like, you know, what they said, where Jesus was a wizard of the Bethlehem, or that whole group, or the what's it, the where is he born? He was born in
Bethlehem.
Nazareth. The Nazarenes.
Yeah.
The Nazarenes were in the Bethlehems. That whole group were a bunch of secret schools, and the idea is that they used riddles and anagrams and stars to either talk about, teach people like folklore about the seasons or when the reptilians are coming back.
Yeah, they were just making it up. They just didn't know what else to say.
Here's another interesting thing. You know, we all call him Saint Nick, Old Nick, things like that. Old Nick is an old English term for Satan.
Oh,
they'd
call
him Nick. They'd call him Scratch. There was a lot
of Pepper Pot.
Scratch.
They call him Dingley Dangle. Right. They call him Mike.
Was Charles Manson naming all these people?
Oh, Scratch, get on over here.
is my buddy. His name is Snickety Snack.
Oh, it's so nice to have Charles with us. Charles, what are your plans for Christmas?
Well, the first thing I plan to do is dig a nice hole in the dirt. I'm going to take a dump in it.
Well, that's sort of a gift that keeps on giving there.
I call it a foolish stocking. Yeah, I got spiders on my feet.
Well,
but you know what? I'm okay with the spiders. It's Christmas. You gotta open your heart.
Well, it's better than a stocking full of coal. A hole full of your dookie.
So scholars, biblical scholars, they concur that Christ was actually born in the fall on the fourth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. December 25th is actually the feast in honor of the birth of the son of the Babylonian queen of heaven, later called Saturnalia by the heathen Romans.
Saturnalia?
Saturnalia.
She had a mole.
Yeah, Saturnalia. It sounds like an erotic festival
or an oil.
Yeah,
something you put all over your Brussels sprouts to make.
But again,
taste
we knew all this. They blumped all the holidays together so that people would still have days off from their fucking sheep herder job.
Yeah, so they could still tell people
you don't take a day off sheep herding, buddy.
Well, you know what?
I know. It's a lifestyle.
We'll actually talk later about what happens in Iceland if you take a day off from sheep herding.
Ooh.
It is terrifying.
Yeah.
Again, when we'll go into Christmas in Europe is scary.
Oh, everything in Europe is terrifying.
It is also worth noting that Santa is Spanish for holy.
Sure.
Santa is also from the Latin word sanctus, which means also saintly.
Marcus, you're taking us down a pipe here. What? How does this go?
Our English word sanctify comes from the Spanish word Santa. Sounds like Satan's claim in the Bible of "I will be like the Most High" plan is in action. In other words, Holy Claus, aka Holy Lucas, aka Holy Lucifer.
It's about worshiping Satan. Thank God. I feel better now. I'm going to go put up Christmas decorations now.
And Claus also sounds like
Claus with
that's
a W.
Stupid. Yeah.
That's maybe
stupid.
Santa Claus means Satan's claws,
no.
Like a lion's claws.
That's not true.
For let us read from the Bible. We shall read from 1 Peter, verse chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door
maybe
into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way,
chimney,
the same is a thief and a robber.
Well,
that seals it.
Yeah, that does it. So they just
2,000-year-old logic. Right. Does it again.
Yeah. And I've got more for you, man.
Please,
I'm
more.
Not done.
Yeah.
I'm not done.
Good.
Most people were unaware that until the 19th century, Santa flew through the sky, not in a sled drawn by reindeers, mm-hmm. but on a white horse.
That's right.
And it wasn't until 1821 that the magical white horse.
And I gotta tell you, that horse was fucking terrified.
Terrified. Terrified. It is no wings, not supposed to be flying.
And then on the eve of December 6th, as I mentioned earlier, the myth said the bearded, white-haired old saint,
quote-unquote,
Clyde in a mantle, rode through the skies on a white horse. You know, there's another character who travels on a white horse.
Who?
Johnny Cash.
Is that right? Johnny Cash? Is that who it is?
The Antichrist.
Antichrist.
Let us read from Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer.
But little know that modern biblical scholars have now discovered that they were talking about Bruno Mars.
Oh, I love Bruno Mars. So a bow, like a bow tie. Or like a bow, like a weapon?
Like a weapon. Or a stick.
So Santa's just rolling around on a horse with a stick coming to your house, and that's why you got to feed him. He'll kill you. he'll kill your entire family. That's
believe
terrible.
Me, I've been traveling all the world. I also get hangry.
Yeah. Oh,
all right,
yeah.
And if I don't get them fucking cookies when I'm expecting them, I'm going upstairs. I'm going to start sucking your kids' dicks.
Well, that's,
if I'm Santa Claus.
That's not what you should do if you're hungry. There's other options out there.
Well, we talked a little bit about Black Pete earlier, one of Santa's dark helpers. Let's get to what is possibly Santa's most infamous dark helper, Krampus.
Now, I will say, your pretty face going to hell, a little bit of a spoiler. We have done a Christmas episode that features a Krampus, and it is a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
We had a very good time.
Krampus.
Krampus is a half goat, half demon beast who literally beats people into being nice and not naughty.
I think that's, spare the rod.
I agree. You spoil the child, and that's why all these kids are out there listening to their iTunes.
Oh,
and they're on their iPhones.
They're hip hop and they're playing their gem games.
Yeah.
Can't be farmer, you tell me you want me to be a farmer on Facebook. You need to be a farmer in Idaho.
That's what I say.
We're
running out of farmers. Meanwhile, you're tagging me in posts about how there's your cow is sick. I say, feed the goddamn
thing. Feed down the goddamn cow. Get a job and make money and get that grain.
I'm very upset with the youth. Very upset with what's happening. Farmville. I remember when I was a kid farming.
There were farms around.
Yeah. Working so hard.
Yeah, farming all the meat
Burger
from the
King.
Arby's refrigerator over to the gel
slicer. Slicing it up. Getting all sweaty. Sometimes I would bleed in it.
The Krampus goes by many names. My favorite is Gumpfnickel. Gumpfnickel.
God, I would pay a nickel for it.
For
a Gumpf nickel. I feel like you go into a store in the 1930s, like, I'll have four Gumpf nickels.
And he just tugs on your balls four times.
You give him 20 cents.
There you go, young man.
That's great. Well, I don't know how I'm cured, but I feel my polio going away now.
So Krampus is usually seen as a classic devil with horns, cloven hooves, a monstrous red tongue, but he can also be spotted as a sinister gentleman dressed in black or a hairy man beast.
There's a lot of things there.
There's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah. It's a wide berth as far as what Krampus is all about. He punishes the naughty children, swatting them with bundles of twigs.
Rootin' bundles.
Mm. And he also uses rusty chains, which sometimes have bells attached, and he would swat the children before dragging them away in baskets to either a fiery place down below, into the black forests of Germany, or to the nearby body of water for a quick drowning.
And in some legends, he has a drowning tub that he also drags with him that clingety clangs in the night.
That story back in the 1800s was followed by a blowout of the candle. good night, Tom.
Good night, Tom.
Yeah. And you're just like, good night, little Tommy.
Oh, good. But I have to wake up in 3 hours so I could get back to milking.
Yes, Tommy.
Yes.
You get drugged by the crazy Santa Claus man, Krampus fella.
So here's
the fiery pits.
Here's the origins of Krampus. His name is derived from the German word
Krampen. Krampen.
Krampen. Which means claw, and he's said to be the son of Hel in Norse mythology.
Cool.
And in Norse mythology, Hel is the ruler of Helheim, the realm of the dead.
Which is when I imagine what it looks like is like the cover of a metal album. You know what I mean? It's just like long bearded hair and like columns, and she's, you know, there's some dude with his dick out and a huge like 4 fucking fretted guitar with the 4 fucking tops to it.
Dio's, I don't know, guitars. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that works. Hel is the youngest child of the evil god Loki and the giantess Angboda.
Ooh.
And she's usually described as a horrible hag, half alive and half dead, with a gloomy and grim expression.
You talking about my ex-girlfriend?
I love that joke.
This is Krampus's mother, by the way. Her face and body are those of a living woman, but her thighs and legs are those of a corpse, mottled and moldering.
Mm.
The gods.
Oh, that's pretty hot. She's kind of, how does she move?
Mottled and moldering.
Oh, yikes. Her boobs are hot, but her pussy's cold. Yeah, I'm all dead down there. They're just describing every housewife in Nebraska. I'm all dead down there. I can't wait for my wife to tell me that.
Leave it alone. You might as well. Hey, you got there, Ben. You want to take a stab at my old pouch there? You're going to be having sex with a corpse there. The cops are going to take you.
I didn't know you were
beautiful
half dead.
Woman.
Well, I still love her. I'll get some more mashed potatoes for you.
So the gods abducted Hel and her brothers from Angerboda's hall. They cast her into the underworld, into which she distributes those who are sent to her, the wicked, and those who die of sickness or old age. Her hall is Helheim, and it's called Eljudner, home
now
of the dead.
You've got good pronunciation guide, yeah. Right? From Ragnar.
Oh no, that's all Icelandic stuff. This is just me talking out of my ass.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna say again, we are doing our best to get better at the pronunciation.
Seriously, we're trying.
Get
hard.
Off of our cocks. All right, we know. We are ignorant.
Yes. We know. I'm not a fucking college professor, you pieces of shit.
I think
I'm a podcast host.
You nail it. You've never mispronounced a word in your life, Marcus. You nail it.
As far as I'm concerned, it's not about the sound of it. It's the meaning behind it.
That's
exactly
right.
And so her maidservant is Ganglot, and she has a manservant named Ginglöti, and both of those can be translated into tardy.
Now, does that mean like retardy?
No.
They are like, oh, what are we gonna do? What's going on here? We got sticky legs.
I'm sorry, what was that?
We got sticky legs there.
You got stinky legs?
Yes, mama's got stinky legs.
Oh,
yes.
Well, I'm all dead down there.
Thank you, Gangladdy.
Wow.
I'm just glad you're alive enough to be our mom.
Well, that's really actually kind of sweet. It almost warmed my vagina.
So that's Krampus's mother. Now let's get back to those bundle of sticks that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, let's. Oh, can we talk more about bundles of sticks? I love this part of the podcast.
Those may have a connection with the initiation rites of certain witch covens, for rites which entailed binding and scourging as a form of mock death. And the chains could have been introduced in a Christian attempt to bind the devil. But again, those could also be a remnant of pagan initiation.
I'm just going to be really happy when every single bundle of sticks in America can get married.
Yep, that's going to... Bundles of sticks deserve love, too. I agree with you.
So according to folklore, and this date shows up again and again, December 6th, Krampus shows up in towns on December 6th is known as
Krampusnacht.
Ooh, that's not good.
That means Krampus night.
It's a cool fucking name for a holiday, though. If there's ever a holiday, Krampusnacht, it just sounds like a...
Yeah, that's true.
Krampusnacht, it's Krampusnacht. Get your presents ready because it's Krampusnacht.
Yeah, I'd bang my head a little bit to that. I'll tell you that much right now. What?
December 6th also happens to be Nikolaustag. Or St. Nicholas's Day, German children look outside their door to see if the shoe or boot they left outside the night before contains either presents a reward for good behavior, or a rod, or a bundle of twigs, now, or the bad behavior.
Human
this
shit,
this is all back in the day where it's like, and it wasn't like a fucking PlayStation 4.
No.
It was like a shovel so you can help with the rock farm with your family, or it was like a or like one of the wooden horses that you just stared at.
Well, you know for a fact you're not getting new shoes, because that's like an impossible thing to fit in there.
And in other versions, Krampus is an incubus who accompanies Santa Claus on the night of Christmas. That's much crazier.
Yeah, so when he goes in there, he's just like,
he just
having sex with the dad and like and flirting with the kids.
I think it's the children.
Yeah,
I think
just going like,
do you think I'm sexy? Come on, children, let me know.
I'm not sure if Rod Stewart was around yet.
If you want my body, come and out and touch me.
Krampus moves through space and time, Ben.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize the truth behind that last sentence.
And so as far as people co-opting Krampus, young people in the mid-19th century used to dress as the devil and stand, along with others dressed as St. Nicholas in the marketplace, waiting to be hired to come to homes and visit children to scare them.
God damn it, Becky, it's so difficult having this child scare business. There's no good Krampuses around. I haven't found a good Krampus in 3 years, these lazy hipster pieces of shit.
I think she's being bad. Do you want to go into town and get a Krampus for us?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sounds like something that's glazed. I would eat it.
In Europe, he began to gain popularity outside of the remote, isolated Alpine areas where he originated, due in part to the popularity of Christmas cards portraying him in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Krampus is often featured looming menacingly over children. He's also shown as having one human foot and one cloven hoof, and in some, Krampus has sexual overtones, for he is pictured pursuing buxom women.
Now, this is the Krampus that I view as being played by Rodney Dangerfield. Field.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
That I woo, got like pink pants on.
Yeah, polka dot shirts.
Give me some of them. I just can't get any respect.
Grabbing boobies everywhere.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, if you go back and watch those Dangerfield movies, he didn't get a lot of respect because technically he's a felon, which is kind of interesting. But Hallmark doesn't make that card anymore, though. No. I want to see a good Krampus card come back from Hallmark.
I'd love to see one.
Just like one that says, Merry Christmas, you got the tits a Krampus would love.
Oh, yeah. And what a gift they are for me.
So Krampus's frightening presence was suppressed for many years. The Catholic Church, for example, forbade the raucous celebrations, and fascist World War II Europe found Krampus despicable because it was considered a creation of the Social Democrats.
Come on!
So the Nazis did take offense to one
Krampus.
Thing.
Krampus.
Yeah. Krampus. Out of all the things that they could have been like, maybe we should not genocide.
Well, okay, listen, everybody. First point of the meeting is, if we're getting the Jew children's shoes, I want the good ones. The shitty ones, we burn.
Right.
Second one is, we got to get rid of this Krampus piece of shit because it's making us look bad.
I agree. The Holocaust making us look great, you know?
And in the 50s, after World War II, in Austria, home of Hitler, the government distributed pamphlets that
but
were...
But also Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What else think about it?
The government distributed pamphlets that were simply titled, Krampus is an evil man.
Sure.
All right.
But
maybe he's not real at all.
I think the way you do it is the government, the way you got to do opposite psychology. I mean, the government thinks that Krampus is a cool fucking dude.
Yeah,
and you
right.
have them co-op Santa Claus Krampus, put sunglasses on him and a skateboard and be like, Krampus wants you to have a good Krampus knock, and no one will like it anymore.
Not exactly. One bit.
So a more modern take on the tradition in Austria, Germany, Hungary, Slovenia, and the Czech Republic involves drunken men dressed as devils who take over the streets for a Krampuslauf, which means a Krampus run, when people, particularly young women, are chased through the street by the devils.
It's a rape parade.
Yeah, I was going to actually make a joke about rape night and stuff like that, but that's really what it is. Huh?
You know what I'll say is that and people don't like SantaCon.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I mean?
They wonder why.
Oh, boy, this is a fucked up version of Santa Claus.
I will say in Atlanta, there is a Krampus crawl that they do where people dress up as Krampus and stuff and they go from bar to bar in a big pub crawl, and it's fucking great.
I can
because
imagine.
It's not rapey. It's a little rapey, but everybody's into
how
it.
Is it rapey?
No, it's just women are like wearing no clothes.
Oh, that's great.
And like Krampus horns and the men, and like all of the guys who do the puppets for Pretty Face were dressed in these like 9-foot tall Krampus uniforms. His huge was awesome.
That's amazing. So one American did go to one of these Krampuslauf celebrations over in Germany, and this is what they will say. They said about the Krampus celebrations: Krampus will hit you.
Sounds fun.
Oh, there are dozens of men dressed as Krampus. He will hit you, but he aims for the legs.
Oh, and it
only stings for a moment.
And you get the rootin' bundles at like Michael's. They're not hard. They're not
right.
Like,
no. And while the majority of Krampusay, that is the plural of Krampus, the Krampusay, they seemed content to harass the crowd on foot, while some rode in large carts or vehicle, shooting flames or bellowing smoke.
That's awesome.
They were particularly brutal to anyone who taunted them or tried to retaliate.
Yeah, I bet.
A particularly large and frightening Krampus chased down an offending teenager, threw him to the ground, and sat on his chest, and the boy looked terrified and near tears.
That's hilarious.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize they were taking down the youth.
Yeah.
I'm pro-Krampus.
Yeah. And the narrow streets in the old city section of Salzburg were packed with pedestrians as the Krampusay stomped through. Many people were caught unaware and reacted with terror. Some would flee and try to seek refuge in a shop or restaurant, only to be pursued by a determined Krampus.
Just a huge fucking drunk-ass German dude. Just going like, oh, where are the children? That is scary. That is terrifying.
I might stay inside that day.
Oh, yeah.
Or be a Krampus. You only got two options.
Yeah.
You're a victim or a Krampus.
I wonder if your grandfather celebrated it at the camps just to make it extra scary for them.
I don't know if they needed to make it any scarier, but it took a while to get to it, though.
They found ways. Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
He waited till the end.
I did. I just did one.
Yeah, you just did one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm
sure we've mentioned Germany a number of times already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about that. So.
Live from your grave.
We're covering JonBenet Ramsey today.
Yes, okay. So JonBenet and JonBenet Ramsey, rest in peace. Beautiful girl, did not deserve anything that happened to her, but we're going to discuss her case, which is a worldwide phenomenon and much, much larger than we have been led to believe.
A tea for tea.
John, you're with us. JonBenet, how's heaven, JonBenet?
For me, it's so much fun. What I like about heaven is that there's slides everywhere. And I can take a slide from the ice cream store to the... There's a store just called the present store.
Does God make you wear a little dress and dance like you're an adult, even though you're a child who shouldn't be sexualized?
He says that it's sexy how my knees are shown and so much of my thighs.
Okay.
He loves that about it.
Oh, what's that? John, I think I hear John.
He also loves my special skills segment, which I always did. That's how I wrapped it up. That was my clincher, you know. The judges would be like, oh, we've heard your song. We've seen your dress. Now, what's your special skill? And I'd go, let me suck that dick.
Oh, I see. That's good. I think God's calling you back to the slides now, JonBenet. Okay, go have fun. All right, welcome to the show. Marcus Parks, Ben Kissel, JonBenet Ramsey is here as well. Perfect. Obviously, we're discussing this case. Another amazing job of research, Mr. Marcus Parks.
Thank you very much.
What this is, I'm going to call this a tangled web of horseshit.
That's your the professional term for it?
How we, because, you know, we like to, this is, you know, because there's the case, which we're going to cover, which is the case in general, which is just brutal and sad, and there's a lot of unknowns.
A child is dead, yes.
Yes. Because it was such a high-profile case of such a beautiful, I'm already feel despicable even saying of it, but it's like a picture of the perfect victim, you know, like with her in the pink dress, but she's got those like sad eyes.
Yeah.
So she's great for newspapers.
She is perfect for newspapers. We discuss it on the other end of the spectrum with the less dead black prostitutes, elderly. Tend
she
to be
is the most dead.
She is JonBenet, the most dead person in the history. She's our baby that was stolen from the
Lindbergh baby.
She's our Lindbergh baby.
And I watched that documentary basically sort of exonerates the parents because all of America, it's sort of naturally assumed that the parents did it, which is not entirely True. They may have a hand in it in terms of clandestine secret ops government associations, mm-hmm. but we'll talk about that.
We're going to get into all of that.
But the idea is, I feel like with something like this, when there's so many unknowns and the killer wasn't caught, it's real easy to just dump a bunch of conspiracies from every side.
That's right.
Into it.
Yeah. And that, again, like the Lindbergh baby. If there's no conclusion, everyone has their opinion and everybody is technically right as the other person.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't know about the JonBenet Ramsey case, this is in 1996, so some of our younger listeners and some of our international listeners might not know about this. JonBenet Ramsey was a 6-year-old beauty pageant queen mm-hmm. who was brutally murdered in her own home on Christmas Day in 1996. She was strangled. She was sexually abused, and she had her head bashed in the basement of her home.
And Smash Mouth was playing on the radio.
Smash Mouth, they were having fun on the sun. I'll never forget this day because this is the day my parents told me I could no longer compete in pageants. They said, it's getting too dangerous for a pretty girl like you, Ben. And I said, no, it's
not. And you're like, I was never a pretty girl. You just wanted me to be mom and dad.
You in that huge fucking dress. Huge lollipop. Yes. And it's like you'd been chowing halfway through it. And they're like, that's for decoration, Kissel.
Why is it so sweet then?
Live from your grave.
So JonBenet, as a veteran of the child beauty pageant circus, she'd
circus won- is the best word for it, by the way. Not circuit, circus.
Yeah, circuit. She had amassed 24 trophies and titles, including Colorado State All-Star Kids Cover Girl, America's Little Royal Miss, Little Miss Merry Christmas, Little Miss Sunburst, Little Miss Charlevoix, and the National Tiny Miss Beauty.
Did she also get a tiniest sugar hole? Did she get that?
I don't know if that was a category. Everybody in the audience is at any one of these events, unless they were the mothers of the child, should be arrested for pedophilia.
Yeah.
Even the mothers. Hell, wrangle them all up.
If you're a man there in a Cleveland Browns jacket, just going like, I just love to watch the sport.
Woo! Woo, get it! Get it! Woo! Shake it!
Sir, we're going to have to ask you to go.
Why? Why? Everyone's daughter.
So there are even magazines in this industry. Not long before JonBenet was killed, she was chosen for the cover of the spring issue of Babette's Pageant and Talent Gazette.
It's Babette, right?
No, it's Babette.
I know, but it's supposed to be, it's a little babe. It's a Babette.
No, Babette is a woman's name.
It's a French. It's a French name for you have to be a whore.
Oh, I see.
To be called Babette.
If you are working in the sex crime business, just follow the magazines. And just arrest whoever buys them.
Yeah, whoever's buying it, who's not. Yeah, exactly. Mother or father to the children that are in the magazine, not even just like involved in the circuit in general.
Right. This is a perfect example of how wealthy people begin their reign as pedophiles. They do it right in front of us.
Yeah.
There is not one Babette magazine going to a lower income family.
Oh, no. The publisher of Babette magazine, Buffy Davenport.
Who just sounds like the person that like has all like the baby MK Ultra like prostitute team on leashes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, Buffy, bring me number 7.
Sure thing, Senator Ronaldson.
Senator Ronaldson.
Well, Buffy described JonBenet as, quote, a natural, a real dynamo. She was one of the up-and-coming 100 who could win the cars and the cash.
And she's probably going to end up dead.
Most likely, and it's a good thing they're giving a 6-year-old a car. That's a huge win for that 6-year-old.
Oh, no, way, way, way in the future.
Oh,
I see. She's talking after she's been a veteran of this business for 10, 15 years.
Oh, great. So she can wrap around the tree when she's taking too many Xanax and drinking martinis all night and realize she's been molested her whole damn life.
Exactly, when she's trying to forget.
Right, yeah. Put her in a nice car. That'll help.
Well, about the effects of child pageantry, William Pinsoff, president of the Family Institute at Northwestern University, who studied child actresses and models, he found them prone to drug addiction, eating disorders, and depression in puberty. He said, for most kids, performing is not a good psychological experience.
I'd like to see the raw data on that. Oh, wait a second. Oh, there's piles of it.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Look no further than Corey Feldman.
So let's answer the question. Who are the Ramseys? Who were JonBenet's parents? Now, JonBenet, she had the
breeding to make a beauty queen.
Yeah, nice tight little horse. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Nothing I like is a good solid cup of cum full of a fucking rich man's semen, and then a good tiny fucking hot woman's egg, and you smash them together. Yep. You get one ugly, you bash it in the head with the brick.
Sure.
Just keep on moving until them eyes are big and pretty.
Yeah. Oh, just, it's such a creepy grandfather thing to say when he sees your future wife. Yeah, she's good for the breeding.
Yeah. Wide hips, long in the face, and like a big brown eye.
Big brown eye.
Ample bosom.
So her father, John Bennett, was a handsome former Navy officer and private pilot, but most importantly, he was filthy fucking rich.
Yes.
Yeah, he was. They had two homes. Their home in Colorado, four stories, and their vacation home in Michigan, where John was from, also a gigantic mansion. He helped found a company called Access Graphics, which was eventually bought by Lockheed Martin.
What I love, like, a name about Access Graphics of that kind of company, too, is that it's so nebulous. You could not tell what it is that they do.
No.
He's a software company. But when you look in Access Graphics, I was like, started to dibble around stuff, but they all just kind of said software company. Mm-hmm. But Lockheed Martin, we know, is a weapons developer.
Yeah.
Right? So this guy worked for a company that did a lot of miscellaneous things for probably, not, I wouldn't even say nefarious company, but like Lockheed Martin is just, they're the war makers of America.
Everybody knows what they do. It's interesting. If you ever watch the CNNs or MSNBCs of the world, they're all sponsored by a company called Northrop Grumman. So when they're leading you up to war, they're basically just Northrop Grumman is just like, can you do 15 minutes about how we should go invade Syria to get our numbers up? It's all a huge game, people. Lockheed Martin is the exact same way.
Yeah.
They finance a lot of good, a lot of everything that they finance a lot of our news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two and a Half Men. They were a part of the team behind that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Access Graphics, they reached $1 billion in sales in 1996. Ooh. So it was a gigantic company. As far as John Bonet's mother, Patsy, goes, she herself was also a beauty pageant queen. She was Miss West Virginia in 1977, and John Bonet's Aunt Pamela was with Miss West Virginia 2 years later.
Sort of like the culture of generational influence in the MK Ultra breeding programs.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Which we'll get into.
You better be able to fucking get into. Yeah. Like mommy, like daughter. serve the hologram universe.
Patsy is a very appropriate name for this woman because she would end up becoming one.
Oh, well, the conspiracy websites that I read made numerous references to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Patsy and John had both a son and a daughter from previous marriages. John Ramsey's daughter was killed in a car accident.
I don't see any quotes over car accident, Marcus.
That was just 4 years before when the daughter was 22 years old. So John has two dead daughters under his belt.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was the only girl to die in a car accident who was shot in the head. She was murdered in the head.
So Patsy Ramsey's son, he lived in Atlanta at the time of the murders, which that will become important later on. Linda Hoffman Pugh, who was the family's cleaning woman for about 14 months prior to the death.
That's how white they are, is that they had a white cleaning woman.
Yeah.
Ultra white. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how rich you can be.
Yeah, yikes. They had a cleaning woman with a hyphenated name. That's fucking rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she says that the Ramseys had a very troubled marriage. She said that Ramsey berated Miss Ramsey for being a, quote, lousy homemaker and cook.
Why does she need to be either? She got right. You got fucking Linda.
I'm sure they have a cook as well.
And shortly before the murder, she said that the couple never once demonstrated any affection for each other, physical or otherwise, in front of the cleaning lady.
It's like the Honeymooners, but this is how it is in real life.
Yes.
You know, when you're very mean to your wife, she ends up killing your only daughter.
So let's go through the timeline. Let's start at the timeline of the murders. Let's start about a month before about 20 days before, on December 6th, the Lights of December parade.
I hate these fucking putrid white people parties. Just the description of any one of these things just makes my fucking blood crawl.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, John Bonet appeared on her own Little Miss Colorado float during the Lights of December parade on the Boulder Mall.
What was really weird is that she had this great crown on that had this, like, target. It looked like a gun scope.
Oh,
on the
yeah?
top of it, which is really weird.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
On December 21st, Access Graphics had their first billion-dollar year and celebrated the $1 billion mark at a very public banquet.
And what they do at those banquets, when you reach a first-ever billion-dollar year, is that most of those banquets have black people dressed as tables and food is just put on their backs.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
On December 23rd, the Ramseys have a Christmas party. Ugh. About 30 people attended, and former journalism professor Bill McReynolds played Santa Claus.
Oh, that's great.
That will become important later on.
Another indication of how wealthy these people were. Did they get a professional Santa Claus? No, they got a journalist to become a Santa Claus.
They got a powerful man
yes,
to just dress up in a costume.
On December 25th, they go to a Christmas party at their friend's house. The friends say nothing out of the ordinary occurred at the party.
Other than the fact that they didn't bring their family. It's a Christmas party. Isn't that a family event?
They did bring their family.
Did
the Ramseys? Yeah, it was
everyone was there. JonBenet was there.
JonBenet was there. Burke was there because they also had a son named Burke who was about 4 years
old. Oh, okay.
Older.
Where's Burke right now?
Where's Burke?
Just hanging out.
Burke's the missing link here.
Well,
who we need to be looking at. Yeah, he's only four.
No,
he couldn't possibly have beaten and strangled his sister to death.
Mm. Actually, there is a theory about Burke.
Burke is not innocent.
Burke did it.
We'll get to Burke later. So they arrive back home a few hours later, and according to Patsy, JonBenet is last seen alive at 10 p.m.
Mm.
Well, I mean, because the 10 p.m. is when she has to go through her dances and songs routines every single night.
Yeah, not even, right. Christmas. Can't have Christmas
Absolutely
off.
Not. Marcus, are you not a fucking... You haven't been out there in the circuit. You don't know what these fucking animals are prepared to do.
Yes. No, I'm not a champion.
And that's the only way Patsy ever saw her alive when she was dancing on stage. You know? That's it.
So at 2 a.m. that night, neighbor Melody Stanton heard a prolonged scream from a little girl, which was cut short very abruptly. She thought nothing of it, made a note of it, but went back to bed.
Hmm. Is that the blood-curdling, shrill cry of a dead child? Back to sleep.
No. Yeah, whatever. It happens.
At 5:30 a.m., the Ramseys wake up to catch a private flight to their second home in Michigan.
Right. Okay, so 10 p.m. to 5:30 a.m.
Yeah. As far as they know, little girl's still alive.
Right.
5:45 a.m., the ransom note is discovered. Patsy Ramsey wakes up. She goes down the back stairs towards the second floor. Remember, it's a four-floor house. She goes down the spiral stairs towards the ground floor. On the step near the bottom of the stairs, she discovered a three-page handwritten ransom note saying that JonBenet had been kidnapped.
Mm.
So Patsy, at 5:52 a.m., calls the Boulder, Colorado.
So it took her 7 minutes.
7 minutes of freaking out.
But that makes sense. That's not that long of
time.
Well,
she had to search the house first. She wanted to make sure that Burke wasn't playing a bit of a goof on her.
Classic Burke move.
Burke being only four, the world's greatest career criminal about to be born.
Burke was 10.
Oh, he definitely killed his
nearing
sister.
Puberty.
Sort of. Not if he's me. He's got another 5 years.
So let's hear the 911 call that Patsy Ramsey placed that night.
911 emergency.
Oh, we need police.
What's going on?
515th Street.
What's going on there, ma'am?
We have a kidnapping. All right, please.
Explain to me what's going on, okay?
There, we have a left. There's a note left and our daughter's gone.
A note was left and your daughter is gone?
Yes.
How old is your daughter?
6 years old. She's gone. 6 years old.
How long ago was it?
I don't know. I just found the note. And my daughter's gone.
Does it say who took her?
What?
Does it say who took her?
I don't know. There's a ransom note here.
It's a ransom note?
It says SBTC. Victory. Please.
Okay, what's your name? Are you
Patsy Ramsey? I'm the mother. Oh, my God. Please.
Okay, I'm sending an officer over, okay?
Please.
Do you know how long she's been gone?
No, I don't. Please, we just got out. Is she right here? Oh, my God, please.
Okay,
please,
well,
somebody.
I am, honey.
Please.
Take a deep breath.
Please,
me, okay?
Hurry.
And that's how every one of my dates ends. Patsy? 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 Patsy?
He seemed Asian. I think he was Asian.
Oh, I see. Wow, but that is a very intense. I believe her emotions in that for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Distraught.
I don't think she. I mean, you know, it may be premature. But I don't think she's got anything to do with the actual crime.
No, she seemed devastated.
I would say, like, we can't say right now that the prevailing theory is that the Ramseys did not do it. We'll go into it why later. But
they have no evidence.
There's zero evidence. And really, the circumstances surrounding it would be, if the Ramseys actually did it, it would be the most bizarre crime in American history.
Absolutely. Yeah. To do a fake ransom note as, like, a sort of head fake to the police for some reason, and then it just, and she has no history of physical abuse. We'll talk about this.
Right, but it would
normally
be,
that's what they say. It's like 90%. It was like 92% of the time that a child is found dead in the home, the family is responsible. But normally there's a history of abuse.
Almost 100% of the time there's a long history of abuse. But there was none reported, none found on JonBenet.
92% of the time, but 100% of the time, abuse. It would be kind of fun to make your own ransom letter, though, because then you can write a check, but to yourself, so you lost money, but then you make it right back.
Yeah, and all you have to show for it in the end is your horribly mutilated daughter.
Yeah, you have a dead child there.
So let's read the ransom note.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, this ransom note is the longest ransom note, as far as we know, the longest ransom note in American criminal history. Most ransom notes are no longer than 15 words long. This is 374 words long.
So if there were like a tandem, a duo doing it, I'm sure one member was just like, what are you doing, writing your novel over there? You know, one's just...
Hey, buddy, come on. I think you know Stephen King, am I right?
Yeah.
Have you read his later novels? Oh, when he got hit by that van. I got to tell you, the quality really ran down. Anyway, guys, we got to go. Because this dead girl started to get cold.
All right, let's hear the letter.
Mr. Ramsey, listen carefully. We are a group of individuals that represent a small foreign faction. We respect your business, but not the country that it serves. At this time, we have your daughter in our possession. She is safe and unharmed, and if you want her to see 1997, you must follow our instructions to the letter. You will withdraw $118,000 from your account. $100,000 will be in $100 bills, and the remaining $18,000 in $20 bills. Make sure that you bring an adequate size attaché to the bank. When you get home, you will put the money in a brown paper bag. I will call you between 8 and 10 a.m. tomorrow to instruct you on delivery. The delivery will be exhausting, so I advise you to get rested. If we monitor you getting the money early, we might call you early to arrange an earlier delivery of the money, and hence an earlier delivery pickup of your daughter. Any deviation of my instructions will result in the immediate execution of your daughter. You will also be denied her remains for proper burial. The two gentlemen watching over your daughter do not particularly like you, so I advise you not to provoke them. Speaking to anyone about your situation, such as police, FBI, etc., will result in your daughter being beheaded. If we catch you talking to a stray dog, she dies. If you alert bank authorities, she dies. If the money is in any way marked or tampered with, she dies. You will be scanned for electronic devices, and if any are found, she dies. You can try to deceive us, but be warned that we are familiar with law enforcement countermeasures and tactics. You stand a 99% chance of killing your daughter if you try to outsmart us. Follow our instructions, and you stand a 100% chance of getting her back. You and your family are under constant scrutiny, as well as the authorities. Don't try to grow a brain, John. You are not the only fat cat around, so don't think the killing will be difficult. Don't underestimate us, John. Use that good southern common sense of yours. It's up to you now, John. Victory, SBTC.
That is why you do not inhale cigar smoke. Very bad for your vocal cords.
And thanks to Ed Larson from The Brighter Side for purchasing this voice-changing machine.
It's my new favorite toy. I've been using it for the last 3 days, just willy-nilly.
You were having far too much fun. Dare I say you've used it before in an actual ransom situation, Mr. Parks?
Perfectly executed.
I just think it's so sad that JonBenet never did get to see 1997 because NSYNC came out with No Strings Attached.
She would have loved
it. Loved it.
Oh, my God. She would have flipped for it. Too bad she's a skeleton.
At this point, she is, and she's never been a better model, which is sad.
So after the 911 call, almost immediately, the Ramseys call their family friends Fleet and Priscilla White and John and Barbara Fernie.
Wait a second. So these guys Mexicans? Are they Mexican or are they
Fleet White?
What's the correlation between having a bunch of money and having old American wealth and just white trash
it
names?
It is cousins marrying each other. Because the richer you get, it's not poor people that fuck their... At least poor people fuck... They're significant other's cousins. You know what I mean? They all fucking within the same family.
Right.
Rich people believe they're making each other smarter by just fucking in the family. Fucking the direct family.
Yep, keeping that blood a royal purple.
So 6 a.m., the police arrive. Those family friends that they called arrived after the police got there, but police let them inside, making their very first mistake by failing to secure the crime scene in any way whatsoever. And let's go ahead and say right now that the Boulder Police Department fucked this up worse than any other crime investigation that I have ever researched.
That's why it points to suspicious, like, questions.
Yeah.
Right. Like when he comes in there, like basically they showed up, they let them trample all over the crime scene. Their friends came in there, they're walking around the kitchen. They didn't even search the entire house because literally what you're going to see right here is they searched all floor. They searched the house, but they neglected to really search the basement. Her body was sitting there the entire time just behind a closed door.
Yeah.
They just didn't open a door.
Yeah.
It's like, knock, knock. Oh, who's there now? Oh, this is the Boulder, Colorado High School Marching Band. Come on through. Come on through. It's fun.
And exactly. It's like they just didn't open that basement door because it's like, we just hate to, you know, interrupt anybody's privacy.
We got
to
have a little bit of evidence melt off the body.
You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if this is also just rich bullying, where the police are there, the friends show up.
Do you know who I am?
Exactly.
I am Fleet White of the White Whites. Ah, hello, hello, yes. Gold coin for you, Sergeant. Ah, you're pure of skin and brown of eye. Come with me, join my family crest.
So by 7:30 a.m., John Ramsey has already collected the $118,000. It's about an hour and a half later, and boom, $118,000. The guy pretty much pulls it out of his pocket.
Right.
At 8 a.m., the police, not the Ramseys, the police call a victim's advocate group to come and counsel the Ramseys, bringing more people into an active crime scene. And in fact, after using the kitchen, the advocates cleaned and wiped down the counters with spray cleaner.
So they're like, oh, this is just, oh, I can't even. Yes, I know. Our daughter was actually hacked up and fed to a bunch of dogs last year. Yeah. So, and you know what? I'd say the thing that really just ticked me off about it is that when I was sitting there just being like, oh my God, my daughter was cut into a bunch of stew meat, I was just like, oh, these counters are mess.
Yes. And then I remember.
And I can't concentrate.
I remember Clorox came out with a new lemon scented bleach, and I can't wait to spray it all over the places that may or may not incriminate you. But it's a similar situation that happened in the Simpson trial where the guy just came, the cops let everybody trample everywhere, and then a guy came and wiped or changed the doorknob that was full of probably Simpson's blood.
Absolutely. So right before 10 a.m., the police, at the very least, sealed JonBenet's room. It took them 4 hours to figure out, like, oh, maybe we shouldn't let people go into the scene of the crime. Let's seal that off. Right. And it's the only place in the entire house where any attempt to seal the crime scene is made.
But also, I find this fact to be really true as well, is that they were suffering a lack of manpower because it was Christmas and everybody was on fucking vacation.
Yeah, it was Christmas Day and all the rookies drew the short straw. So you had a bunch of inexperienced police officers who didn't know what the fuck to do coming over to this house and just bungling up the whole fucking
thing. I don't really understand. I thought criminals called the truce on Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Do they know it's Christmas? It's, what is that, a Gelfand, something like that?
But Geldof.
Geldof, Yeah. And also during this time, John Bonet, John himself and Patsy, they're very cold with each other and they're not in the same room. They're in separate rooms and doing all, like, they didn't act as if a couple, like a couple in mourning.
Well, that's what people said, is that Patsy was beside herself, upset and blah, blah, blah. But John was just kind of pacing around.
Yeah. At one point he checked his mail.
Right.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I will admit that it's odd behavior, but not that strange.
He's in shock.
He's in shock. Yeah.
Everyone
acts
different.
And that's one thing that pisses me off about people's analysis of this case, is that they're judging how a parent should act in grief.
Now,
and there is no standard for how someone acts.
If he called the airline that he owns or his private jet and demanded a refund, then I think that would be, well, we're not taking the flight, so I will have my money back.
Yeah, if he's haggling with Seamless about how his summer rolls didn't show up.
Right.
He's
right.
Like, that's the problem. He's just like, this is a problem that needs to be rectified. I am emailing and calling customer service.
Here's an interesting fact, though.
Man, it's crazy to think they didn't even have email back then.
Yeah, well, they did, but it was just
96?
Nerds. I had email then. MetallicRose@yahoo.com.
Yeah.
MetallicRose. Because
My two favorite bands were Metallica and Guns N' Roses, and I had no idea at the time how much it made me sound like a ninny.
Yeah, it sounds like you should be doing anal gate porn on a webcam. Metallic Rose.
Dude, I thought I was so cool. No, I wasn't.
All right, you were.
So the 8 to 10, because remember in the ransom note, they said that they would call them between 8 and 10 a.m. That window came and went. Nobody mentioned it. Nobody said a single, after 10 a.m. came and went, Nobody said anything. That's very weird.
So you would think you'd be waiting by the phone for these 2 hours, 8 a.m.
Hey
to 10 a.m.
Hey, guys, Columbo was on.
Right.
All right, and when I am in a Columbo jag, it's like I may as well be deaf and dumb.
Mm-hmm. Columbo is a really good detective if the murder happened in a bizarre way.
Yeah, he
would have been great at helping this case.
Yeah.
But he's fictional.
But if you would just see somebody shoot another person, I don't think he could solve it.
So a little bit before 1 p.m., this police officer, her name is, I think, Karen Arndt. She was the only cop left on the scene. This is very interesting that they had one cop, an extremely rich man who had connections to the defense industry, who had a ransom note that mentioned a small foreign faction, which indicates the possibility of terrorism. The FBI came and went. They came at about 8 a.m.
They dropped
a wiretap, and then they fucking left. There were, in the area, there were other examples of CEOs having their sons being kidnapped, and the FBI just fucking swarmed these places.
Right.
But with this case, they left one rookie officer to watch over this entire scene. So this rookie officer is this is so fucking dumb. She said that John Ramsey, she said the room was tense, so she wanted to give John something to do.
Right.
So she told John to search the house from top to bottom, looking for her fucking daughter.
Which is literally
daughter.
Like if you're an NBA basketball player and then you also have to deliver beer to the stands. You know, like he is the father in mourning. Why is he doing the detective work exactly?
Also, in any other case, they would be considered number one suspects. It's a part of what they have to do is they have to eliminate the family out of the equation. And basically, you're giving him carte blanche to go, hey, why don't you, John, you seem so nervous. Why don't you go hide all the evidence of your crimes?
Yeah, what's that in your back pocket? Oh, this is the cum rag I always used to clean up my semen, but why you bringing
You should throw that out. That's dirty and filthy.
Just got one more wipe-up job.
Yeah, so he just gets to go walk through the house.
He gets to walk through the house, and he gets to, if you subscribe to the theory that he killed her, he gets to double-check that he didn't leave any evidence behind.
This is what I'm saying. This is what, just let him go.
Yeah.
Just let him go. Right. Oh, yeah.
Just let him go. So about 5 minutes later, and John immediately goes down to the basement. He goes right down there first.
Huh. That's weird. Like, he's been down there a whole bunch here, and like maybe furiously the night before.
But it's not that weird because she said, quote, top to bottom, he's going to take a bottom to top. Because he's a CEO, and he ain't going to have no one tell him how to do it.
He started from the bottom, killed his daughter, then went to the top.
Well,
like that rap song.
He did the CEO movement where she says, like, John, why don't you go search the house? And he's like sitting there silent, and he goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go search the house. It's got to be his idea.
Right.
So he goes down to the basement, and John, not the cop who had gave a cursory glance to the basement earlier, he opens up the wine cellar door, turns on the light, and screams, oh my God, my baby.
Oh my God, my baby.
In the wine cellar where I did not leave her.
So JonBenet, when he found her, she had black duct tape covering her mouth, a cord around her neck that was attached to a wooden, how is this pronounced, garrote?
It's garrote.
A garrote, yes, because God forbid I mispronounce something.
Okay. Was there a problem?
Are you getting upset? Are people getting upset? I have no idea what human emotion is anymore. Are you mad, Marcus?
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
We ain't from Webster's Dictionary.
We are not Webster's Dictionary. We have a fun way with words.
Yes, we do. So the cord was attached to a wooden garrote, and her hands were bound over her head, and she was covered by a light-colored blanket. Now, the crime scene is, at this point, fucked.
Yeah, because he walks over, he rips the duct tape off of JonBenet's mouth.
Right.
He attempts to untie her hands, and he carries her up the stairs, setting her down on the floor. Though, like, basically, then Detective Art came in, picked up the body herself, moved it to the living room, and then Patsy came in, freaked out, and just went to the body and just basically went like pat 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 pat, with her hands all over it.
I mean, totally insane. It is the. Did you see that pro wrestler die in the ring? There was a video on YouTube about a pro wrestler. He just died in the ring a week ago. He broke his neck. And obviously these pro wrestlers just immediately start throwing his body around to make sure he's to see if he's dead. And it's like, well, he definitely is now.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not only John Ramsey that contaminates the corpse, but it's also the detective. Let's not say detective. She's not a detective. She's an officer. Because it is important to note that they left a beat cop to watch over this crime scene. And Pat Ramsey also contaminated again as she knelt, knelt over the body, repeating "My Little Angel" over and over and over again.
Right.
So at about 1:30, about 20 minutes later, John calls the pilot of the private jet that was waiting to take them to Michigan.
Who was John Travolta.
Which is also strange. It was John Travolta. It was Henry Kissinger was a co-pilot for some reason.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and a guy dressed up as E.T. with a hole in the front of his dick hanging out.
Weird. Special guy.
So he's overheard saying to the pilot,
"Hey, buddy, we have a little bit of a snafu going on here, so maybe we could going to head down to Hotlanta and check out some of the clubs or something. Why don't we do that instead?"
He actually does. He asks him, right. He says, "Hey, we need to go to Atlanta. We're right. going to Atlanta right now." But the police tell him, like, "Hey, you can't leave town." They actually do that right.
Yeah, they're finally like, "You can't leave town."
Right. Is it because CNN was there? Did he want to go talk to the news? Or what was the reason? There's no reason?
There really is no reason. Because at this point, his Patsy's son, who lived in Atlanta, was already on a flight back to Boulder. So why was he wanting to go to Atlanta? Was it possible that he knew what was going on? Was he going to Atlanta to possibly settle a score?
What would he do? Would he speak to their manager?
Throttle a man! He would go and throttle this vile beast!
No, it sounds like he got mixed up with the wrong crew of people. Always.
Yeah.
And I just think that's what happens. In order to have multiple millions of dollars, you have had to have seen something fucked up and not said it, or have done something fucked up.
Well, he didn't know what to do, because at this time in history, Liam Neeson was still starring in romance movies. So he didn't have a role model for how to go seek revenge on his daughter's death.
Mm-hmm. But you know who did have a role model? The people who wrote the ransom note. There's a lot of weird things about this ransom note. Well, and by the way, before we get to the ransom note, it should be noted that the cops did not fully secure the crime scene until almost 2:00 in the afternoon.
They were eating, right? They were just having family.
They were having a meeting. They were apparently.
It was the day after Christmas. They were putting together toys. Do you have any clue how long it takes to set up a new PlayStation?
I know.
Especially
I know.
The old school TVs with all 1. The cords and shit in there. And then you mean to tell me we're going to spend an hour not setting up this PlayStation and we're not going to play a little bit?
Kids are crying.
Yeah, because if I remember, 1996 was the year that PlayStation 1 came out.
This is what I'm saying. Yep. They were busy.
I'll never forget it. That was the year I got a Sega. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that?
You're like the poorest, hugest, rich child.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Please, someone write that children's book. So let's continue with some of the evidence. JonBenet's body itself. The results of the autopsy revealed that she was killed by strangulation and a skull fracture, a garrote made from a length of tweed cord, and the broken handle of a paintbrush. The paintbrush, by the way, was Patsy Ramsey's paintbrush, which was in the basement. That had been used to strangle her, and her skull had suffered severe blunt force trauma.
Was the paintbrush broken on JonBenet, or did they just have a random broken paintbrush handle lying around?
I guess they had a random broken paintbrush handle.
I heard that Patsy Ramsey did a series of sort of by the numbers but technically skillful landscapes, and she tried to get into art school, but she couldn't get in, so she broke it in fury. Not unlike the story of a young Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
So the official cause of death was asphyxiation due to strangulation associated with craniocerebral trauma.
What they're saying is what seems to be the natural timeline of her death is that she was tased in her bed. She was moved to the basement. Mm-hmm. She was getting strangled. She woke up in the process of being strangled. She screamed, and then he bashed her head in.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm saying he.
I don't mean to be sexist. It could have been a lady.
Yeah, it could have been a family dog, for all we know.
Live from your grave.
So the bungling of the BPD does not end with the crime scene. It continues. John Eller, the man in charge of the case, had never been in charge of a homicide investigation prior to this, and his squad of six detectives, young, inexperienced, no experience on homicide cases either, and John Eller also had an extreme distaste for the DA, who was a liberal progressive.
Oh, good, so they all can't work together. Great.
Exactly. Yeah. So it sounds like they had the mirage of an actual investigation. It's sort of like when you're a college football elite team like Alabama, the first game or one of the first games of the season, they'll just play a total crap school.
Yeah.
And they know they're going to win, but technically they're both playing football, but they set themselves up to win. There was no way this case was going to get solved.
I feel like Orr was a highly ambitious like commissioner who was like, I'm going to put together a ragtag team of some of the
right.
Yeah, they may be rough around the edges, but I think they're going to pull this through. But the problem is that the Bad News Bears doesn't actually work.
Yeah, I mean, this is why
that technique never works.
You should never make detective decisions while you're watching the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to turn out to be Danny Tamborelli, suck in real life.
No, listen to me. Yeah, I know he can barely see and he barely passed criminal justice school, but I tell you, when he puts up that triple juke in the final round,
right.
when they're finally, I can't even tell you the term, when the hockey game is all tippity tied up, and he comes in and he shows up and they, you'll see. You'll see who will find that rapist.
Why is the detective leading a group of officers into what looks to be a flying V? Why are they coming into our house like that?
So adding to the suspicion against the Ramseys immediately lawyered up. Immediately. And then they hired their own team of private investigators, profilers, forensic analysts, and a PR company. So the harder that the Ramseys tried to push the investigation away from them, the BPD assumed they were more convinced of the Ramseys' guilt.
And this is a situation of wealth not translating to normal society.
Yes.
Why would you get a PR firm? PR firms are usually when you come out with a new fragrance and you want to make sure people love it. I mean, but the lawyer up thing, it makes all the sense in the world, but it looks really bizarre to people who don't even have that as an option.
This is a corporate family.
Right.
It works for one of the most intense, it's like, basically, they have the ear of Lockheed Martin. They have the ear of all these, like, very, like, highly...
Or do they have the ear of Lockheed Martin?
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know. But they're dealing with these clandestine, like, high-level military corporations.
Right.
They're getting a lot of advice from them. And they're basically saying, like, cover yourself on all sides, because literally, again, you look at the previous evidence we have about John Ramsey, you're suspicious as fuck.
And that plays into everything, all of their, what seemingly is bizarre behavior for us, for them. I mean, I guess if you're John Ramsey, you've seen death many times, and a lot of death from children if you've worked for Lockheed Martin
you're
and you've seen the videotapes.
You're literally the Grim Reaper.
Seriously.
So, of course, it's at this point that the tabloids descend. And, man, if you were alive in 1997 and went to a supermarket, JonBenet Ramsey's face was there staring at you in the checkout.
It's just the blonde hair, the pink dress, the big blue eyes. Mm-hmm. It's perfect, perfect picture of a victim.
Yeah. And this tabloid news cycle was endless every day.
I mean, it was years. And you talk to people who worked for those tabloid newspapers at the time, and the editors would tell them, they would say like, okay, now we're going to go for JonBenet. We're going to start off with the parents. The parents did it. Mm-hmm. And then after a little while, they were like, okay, now we're going to go for the son. The son did it. This 10-year-old boy killed his sister out of jealousy.
At one point, Bat Boy did it. I mean, it was insane.
Did Bat Boy die?
I don't know if Bat Boy was ever real.
Nah, I don't know. Is imagination real? Is magic real?
No.
Is reality? Are we just not a group of perceptions?
Yes, yes, yes.
So it was just a little more than a year since the O.J. Simpson trial ended. Right. And, of course, the tabloids were fresh out of material. JonBenet Ramsey was fucking perfect.
And they were freshly aware of what the death of a beautiful white person would do for their readers.
Mwah, what a spicy meatball for them.
It's crazy because, you know, for a fact, as soon as they found out about this, these heads of the tabloids, the editors, they were happy.
Yeah. Okay, like,
you have to be happy.
Oh, wait a second. Let me look at this. Oh, so she's been raped and murdered? That's awesome.
That's great. That's great.
So the DA, he had, of course, no experience dealing with national media.
Right.
So he tried to deal with the tabloids in the same way that he dealt with the local press, with the Boulder Daily Camera. Did not work. And Bill James makes a great comparison here. He said that it's the difference between dealing with a house cat and a tiger.
Right, right, right.
You can't just pet a tiger and hope it calms down.
Yeah, these are professional snoopers that are now crawling this deep into this case.
They're asking you questions to get their answers that they want to have. I mean, he was in way over his head.
Yeah. And so it was national attention, so both the police department and the DA's office were under an enormous amount of pressure, unimaginable pressure. And because of this, the DA tried to control the narrative. In order to control the narrative, he had to have control over the police department, who hated him.
Right.
And in fact, at one point, the DA's office brought in their own investigators, and the police, in turn, brought in their own attorneys.
Ugh.
So they're not even talking to each other
at
all.
Fucking it's a clusterfuck of bullshit.
Yeah.
Like all this litigious red tape all brought in, and it's like, and it comes down to it. A little girl was raped and murdered in deeply cold blood. You know what I mean? A horrible murder. And everybody, forgot about her.
But was it all, again, to present the illusion like an investigation was going on?
It's possible.
You know, if they just keep everything messy, keep everything cluttered, they're technically working every day, but they're doing nothing.
They fucked
up
the
crime
scene.
It's like what I used to do when I worked at Taco Bell. You know what I did? A lot of time in the freezer. A lot of time wiping down areas that were already clean.
Yeah,
I'm working.
So
and then I eat all the burritos.
When you work at a temp agency, a piece of advice I got was walk around with a file folder in your hand and go like... Like, do a lot of, like, exasperated sighs.
Put your hands up.
Yeah, exactly. And, but you bring up a real good point here, is that the tabloid press covered this every single day, and at the end of the day, this was the brutal rape and murder of a 6-year-old child who had her head bashed in, who was strangled.
Oh, absolutely.
And this was talked about, but the murder wasn't talked about at all.
No, and we talked about
it. It was
the
investigation.
This.
It was the parents.
We've talked about this before. When we do go on like CNN or whatever, one of these networks, and they try to demonize us for discussing these true crime things and making light of them, we're so much more respectful than the mainstream media was. Again, with the O.J. Simpson trial, we cover that in depth, how pizza sales went through the roof. If you're the CEO of Domino's, you're like, oh, we have to get another black athlete to kill his ex-wife and her white boyfriend. We must have it happen.
And I will always put the conspiracy angle on it. It's like the government loves nothing more than a story like this to get real messy.
Yeah.
Right. Because then you can attach. It's like now when the conspiracy theories start getting attached to what we're going to go to, it's so easy to just sort of like be like,
insane.
Oh, look at all these crazy people, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we are literally sitting on what is possibly an extension of a gigantic pedophile ring that is connected to various world governments as a secret-keeping organization that I know
for a fact is real.
Yes. I guarantee you one of those guys in the audience watching JonBenet dance was Jeffrey Epstein, who was just waiting until she was 10. And then he was going to take her on Air Fuck One, and Bill was going to meet her, and the whole damn thing was going to go down.
Yeah. I mean, if we're learning anything right now from what's going on in the UK,
yeah,
it's fucking real.
It is real. It is concrete. It's happening all the time. Yep. So let's get back to the anyway, case as it is.
Yeah. So this is an analysis from Bill James. He really sets it out in common sense terms. This is the case against the Ramseys being the culprits in this case. Patsy, not the brightest bulb in the fucking drawer.
What are you talking about? She's a beauty queen. I thought you have to be a genius to be a beauty queen.
How would you solve world hunger?
I think that burritos are big enough to share.
But look at her tits, though. If you look at her tits, she's really smart.
And it's okay. And so her handwriting, if anyone out of the two wrote the note, it would be Patsy, because the handwriting matches the literary talent that this woman would have had to have to write this note would have been astounding, especially writing it only moments after bludgeoning her fucking daughter to death, or moments after her husband had bludgeoned her daughter to death.
Well, so, you know, you've ever been in the afterglow of some good sex and you just sit there and you're calm, cool, you could write 1,000 poems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, like, the afterglow of good sex is like, that's my great, like, that's meditation time for me. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's sex magic.
Yeah, it's like what William Shakespeare did, but she murdered her daughter and then wrote a long note there about for getting money. It's sort of like a little, it's like a little sonnet, kind of.
Second of all, there were much better places to hide this body.
Right.
I mean, they lived at the foot of, they were in Boulder, Colorado. There are mountains everywhere. There are national parks. There are hundreds of good places to hide this body, especially if they're trying to fake a ransom note.
Yeah, even Robert Durst knew after accidentally murdering that man that lived next door to him,
he knew that
he had to viscerally fucking pull the head off that body in order to hide the identification.
Right, he knew.
Even he knew. But the Ramseys apparently did not know, so they decided, after, if the accidental sex game gone wrong theory is true, then that means that after Ramsey killed his daughter in a sex game gone wrong, his first thought was like, well, you know, ransom note.
Ransom
note.
I'll
write a fake ransom note.
You know what's funny, Patsy, is that I always wanted to write a ransom note.
Yeah.
But exactly. If the end result was to rape your daughter and murder her, right? If that's what the part of the satanic ritual was supposed to be, to murder her, I imagine there would also be a plan to deal with the body.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you don't want to, because this is too heavy. There's too much heat here if you're going to be doing it in some sort of ritual abuse sort of way, or even in a pedophile ring sort of way. Say this is some sort of weird initiation that he had to do.
Harvey Keitel's going to show up with the cleanup crew and they're going to get rid of it.
Yeah. Third, they left no evidence behind whatsoever that would point to either one of them. The murder weapon was never found, and the only thing that could have been a murder weapon, a baseball bat that was leaned against the house outside, tested negative for any forensic evidence whatsoever. Fourth, the DNA that was found underneath JonBenet's fingernails and on her underwear matched no members of the Ramsey family. But the DNA does come with a caveat. The DNA that they got off the body was known as touch DNA, which is notoriously hard to collect, and it can be contaminated very quickly. And we've got the fucking BPD, who couldn't even secure a crime scene, collecting this DNA.
Also, you had three people handling the corpse right after it was discovered without any sort of, no crime science unit there to look at it. Oh, yeah, they were doing whatever. They were probably cleaning her hands, being like, I don't want her to be buried with her hands all messy.
And it's crazy. It doesn't seem like that long ago, but 96, OJ was really one of the first major trials to use DNA, and actually they were skeptical of it.
Yeah.
So people were still kind of, they didn't know exactly what the science was yet.
Yeah, they really had no idea. Now, concerning the scream at 2 a.m. that the neighbor heard. If you'll remember, we mentioned that on the timeline of the first episode.
The world's worst neighbor? Is that what this is?
Oh, yeah. She was just busy. I mean, come on. She was in the middle of a Frasier marathon.
Right.
You can't be leaving. And she'd be like, will Niles get Daphne? I won't see it if I leave right now.
I think she was more like, when's Miles going to come out? But then he never did.
He never did.
Nah, man, he loved that pussy.
Yeah, yeah, he talked about it just like he did, too.
Well, about the scream, remember that the Ramsey's house was 4 stories high.
Right.
They were in the basement. There were 3 stories between the murder scene and the Ramsey's bedroom. They actually did audio tests that revealed that the Ramsey's could not hear the screams.
Like Ace Ventura. I know, you
gotta,
yeah.
gotta bring in Ace Ventura.
That's also a problem. Yeah, when they buy the house and John Ramsey, did he come down and be like, huh, all right, oh, well, great, yes, living room, yes, 3 floors. Can you take me down to the basement? Hey, Rodney, can you run up there? And I just want to
see if it's a good murdering basement.
Did you hear that?
Can't hear it? I'm going to murder my daughter in here. Can you hear that, Rodney?
Huh?
No, not a word, John Ramsey.
All right.
So the audio test revealed that while the Ramseys couldn't hear the scream, the neighbor could hear the scream just fine because there was a window leading out. There was a metal grate that she could have heard it. The acoustics could have traveled up to where the neighbor was.
Right.
Now, as far as the footprints, they make a big deal of saying that there was snow outside and that there were no footprints in the snow. First of all,
it's total horseshit.
It's such horseshit.
There's a great documentary that I believe Bill James is a part of that they talk about this thing where basically you show pictures of the outside of the Ramsey home, and they kept saying, oh, there's snow, you would have seen it. The whole path is clear. The whole path is clear up to a basement window grate that you can open it, and then they said, oh, no, only a midget could fit in that grate. That was literally what they said.
Yeah.
But then he's like, I'm not a midget. He's like, I'm 6'4". I'll show you exactly how you get in this grate. And he lifts the grate. He gets in, and he said, you look here, you can see how that it was possibly disturbed when they show the picture of the actual grate, because they took a picture of it. He showed how he opened up the basement window, and he's like, and it's like, bum, bum, bum. He crawled into the home, and he was in there in literally 30 seconds.
But then he would have to go up. What floor was JonBenet's room on? Do we know?
Fourth. It was on the fourth.
So he would have to climb all the way up through the house and then bring her all the way down. And
Or he was in there. He was in there already. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. Exactly. So the footprints, total bullshit. Because the other thing is, if they searched the house from top to bottom, finally they got a search warrant. But there was no duct tape found. There was no cord found. There was no stun gun. No murder weapon found anywhere in the house. So where the fuck did they go?
Right.
Where did they go? Someone had to have left.
And why hide the murder weapon if you're not going to go ahead and hide the corpse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which in the corpse is the bigger amount of... That's the evidence. Yeah. That is the evidence. I mean, look at Robert Durst again. Without his wife's corpse, they cannot prove that he murdered her. So because you have no evidence that she's dead. So it's like the first thing you do is get rid of the body.
Yeah.
Maybe you couldn't take her through the window with him. He's not Santa Claus. Unless, of course, he is Santa Claus.
Well, we're going to get to Santa Claus at that later on in the episode.
Just a wink of the eye and a tip of the nose, and right up the chimney he goes.
With your dead daughter.
With your raped dead daughter.
Okay.
So the DA, they actually did do a much better job than the BP did of assigning who should take this case. The BP, DA's office brought in their own investigator, a man who was a veteran of literally hundreds of homicide cases, and within days of arriving,
this guy is a
super fucking cop, and he concluded in just a few days that the Ramseys didn't commit the murder.
Okay.
Yeah, he was like, oh yeah, look at this, absolutely not.
Yeah, he was like, this is easy. Like, this is such an easy fucking job.
And the breakdown is really interesting.
Yeah, the breakdown's great. So while the Ramseys were at the Christmas party on Christmas Day, the intruder broke into the house, bringing with him the duct tape, the cord, the stun gun.
Also, like Santa Claus.
Yes, exactly.
My question is, when you sneak into a house to rape and murder a little girl, do you do the like tiptoe through the house?
No, but if you make the noise while you do it, it totally counterproductive to the... You want to be quiet. I think you're the world's worst murderer.
Sorry, I didn't realize I was making the noises out loud. I meant to just think them.
Can you keep it down?
Oh, am I yelling?
You are, sir. Why are you in my house, sir?
I'm gonna rape and murder your daughter. I gotta keep these thoughts to myself. I'm a pizza delivery man. Very thorough.
Thank you.
Brought it straight to the kitchen.
Great.
Live from your grave.
So we got one final theory. Santa Claus.
Of course he fucking did it.
Definitely. Santa Claus did it. So Trip DeMuth, one of the original prosecutors on the case.
Bad name.
Yeah. If you
Trip
DeMuth.
But Trip is another one of those white, wealthy ironically trashy names.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a guy who mixes cocktails with his finger and then sucks on his finger.
Yeah, yeah. New tastes good. Yeah.
So if you'll remember in our first episode, we mentioned at the Christmas party at the Ramsey's house on, I believe it was the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was on, yes, no, it was not.
Okay.
On the 23rd, that mm-hmm. Christmas party, Santa Claus was played by the former journalist, Bill McReynolds.
Yes.
And on that day, he supposedly gave JonBenet a card that read, "You will receive a special gift after Christmas."
I'm going to rape and murder you, little girl.
Very interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry. He wanted a dollhouse. Let me change that on the list.
Yes, and then write about it. Now, did this journalist that played the Santa Claus, what is it? I just want to call him McRib, but it's McReynolds, right?
McReynolds.
Did he write about the case extensively, or did he kind of wash his hands up and back away from it?
Well, he had already retired as a journalist.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and his daughter had already been abducted 22 years before, and his wife wrote a play about a child who was molested in her basement and then murdered.
Yeah, and by the way, it was 22 years to the day before JonBenet's death.
And of course, his daughter died at the age of 22, so those are another numbers that are the same.
2 plus 2 equals 4. 4 sides to a square.
Right.
Square on the altar of the Masons. Square compass. Oh, you were in an apron.
Okay. That's okay. Come back. You'll come back. Come back to us tomorrow. Prescott Bush did it. Yes.
Oh, and one more, by the way. Bill Reynolds died in 2002.
And did he comment at all on the case?
He was cleared. The couple gave hair, handwriting, and blood samples. They were eventually cleared thanks to DNA tests. But if we remember, the DNA is it's a little iffy.
Right.
Shadow on shadow.
And about SBTC, right. The signature at the end of the ransom note could be interpreted as south on Broadway towards Cashman.
Just use MapQuest. We had MapQuest in 1996.
Internet poster Don Bradley wrote, "To get from the McReynolds' former residence in Boulder to the Ramsey home, you would be advised to go south on Broadway towards Cashman." So let's jump ahead to 1999. Court documents were released. I believe this was just last year that these court documents were released. It was revealed that in 1999, a grand jury voted to indict JonBenet Ramsey of not murder, but of child abuse resulting in the death and being an accessory to a crime in connection with JonBenet Ramsey. So what this indictment said, and by the way, the prosecutor declined to sign the indictment due to lack of evidence, but what this means is that a grand jury saw enough evidence
to say they were at least a part of it.
That they didn't kill her, but they were at least a part of it. The grand jury's indictment papers didn't indicate who killed the beauty queen. The Ramseys weren't officially indicted. Let's see here. But in 2008, then Boulder District Attorney Mary Lacey exonerated the girl's parents and immediate family after DNA pointed to an unidentified male. As far as the indictment itself goes, count 4 of the indictment said the Ramseys, quote, did unlawfully, knowingly, recklessly, and feloniously permit a child to be unreasonably placed in a situation which posed a threat of injury to the child's life or health, which resulted in the death of JonBenet Ramsey, a child under the age of 16.
So, in layman terms, count 4 is pimping your daughter out at shows where she's wearing scantily clad clothes.
Or
right?
Possibly putting her up at parties that this is where this is what they do. That they basically are naming, if it's true, this sort of government parties, the after parties that we talked about with the Franklin cover-up, and
she
was a part of that, and maybe the entire beauty queen establishment's a part of that.
Yeah, she's been on a show. Yeah.
And if we remember in the Franklin cover-up, and I'm sure everybody's been hearing a lot about indictments lately, and it is not hard to get an indictment in this country, but if we remember from the Franklin cover-up, the witness to all of these horrible sex parties, she not only didn't get the indictment against Larry King, she was also charged with perjury, and she was sent to prison for 9 years. But this jury, they voted to indict, but the DA
just didn't do it. Yeah. Just didn't sign anything into evidence. And what's even more damning is that the evidence that was presented to the grand jury has never been released, and there are multiple redacted items in the search
warrant.
We're
going to see shit come out in the next couple of years, probably.
Yeah. And as they all start to die off, yeah.
Yeah. In a 2001 interview with grand jury specialist Michael Caine, who led the 13-month grand jury probe, he said there remain dozens of secrets, absolutely dozens, and a lot of what the public thinks is a fact is simply not fact.
Live from your grave.
My personal belief is that the pedophile ring is real. I think that it's all real.
I think there's evidence to prove that. Yeah.
I mean, my personal belief is that they didn't kill her, but they know who did.
They know who did.
They know who did, and they know why.
Yeah. But really, the biggest loser here is John, because his political career got derailed. Turns out when your daughter dies in a mysterious death and your other two daughters die in mysterious circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
He ran for Michigan Congress in 2004 and 2008, and it's tough to work yourself out of the pit of that guy might have killed his daughter.
You have to start every speech and be like, "Hey, hello, my name is John Ramsey. I did not kill my daughter.
Did not. You know,
that is the man who I was. I want to talk about the man that I am
today. A man
today.
Who wants to fix our highways. And there's got to be a green light on the corner of Muldrew and Jefferson.
Perfect.
So, yeah, that is the story of JonBenet Ramsey. I don't believe this case will ever be solved. It's going to go down as one of the great unsolved murders in American history.
It makes me feel sick to my stomach.
Yes.
It's so sad, and the poor girl, and don't have, I don't know, maybe we should pass legislation banning these child events. It's just disgusting.
They're outlawed. I know they're outlawed in France.
If the French don't allow it, what are we doing?
Yes. No. We're basically, yeah, absolutely. Why are we sexualizing our kids?
Stop it. It's an epidemic. It really, I mean, I hate to say it, but even you watch those MTV, like the new musicians that are out now, like they look like children. They're wearing nothing. I sound like a total father or something, but it's more than it ever was before.
The little girlification of like sexuality of like
so having, gross.
I think it's disgusting.
The shaved pussies, grow some bush, ladies.
Yeah.
You know, but let's not go crazy.
A little bit of bush.
Always.
You know what?
As a matter of fact, keep it shaved, but tattoo your driver's license on it. And that way we all know, I know what I'm looking at. It's perfect.
I got a bush. Just all so right. No one thinks I'm a little boy.
I don't think they're going to think you're a little boy.
Fly from your grave.
All right, there it was. A little best of episode of us screaming at each other, talking about a whole series of, dare I say, wonderful, peaceful things.
Yeah. It's just nice to have because it just relentlessly comes around every year like Jason Voorhees.
It seems to come around earlier and earlier every year, but maybe I just say that every year.
I will say this year, I was starting to get superiorly offended. If I see a fucking single Christmas ornament on Halloween, I get so upset. I get so triggered.
It seems like you need to grow your heart twice the size like that, like the Grinch did, but of course that would kill him.
It hurts. Oh!
And he had, finally, the heart attack took Henry Zebrowski that we all know was coming. Yep. Isn't that weird? Inside of your body, in all of our bodies, there's just one little Homer Simpson person working on one little thing, and he's going to fall asleep one day.
Yep, and you never wake up.
No, and you never wake up.
Very scary. Happy Merry Christmas.
Have a great holiday season, y'all. We love
you. And check out all of the shows in LPN. We got Wizard and the Bruiser. We've got Page 7.
Yeah.
Abe Lincoln's Top Hat.
Yes.
Celebrate in so many different ways. Side work. No Dogs in Space. Go check them out. Check them out. Brighter Side. If you want to check out, have a smile. Have a smile this Christmas.
Have a smile this Christmas. Have some cookies. Have some ice cream and some pies. And just try to stay warm and have a nice time with whoever you can be around. Yes. All right, everyone. One, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
Are you Jesus? Are you Jesus Christ? Because that's who gets hailed on Christmas.
I wish I had his fucking abs.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.